Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
As our listeners know, when we have Stan Gordon on the Paracast, we just say go. And he never stops because he has so much information. In fact, Stan Gordon has so much information, we couldn't fit it in a single episode of the Paracast. So we've asked him to hang out with us on the After the Paracast podcast. Of course, After the Paracast is an exclusive feature of the Paracast Plus. For more information, by the way, go to theparacast.plus. That's theparacast.plus. Now, we continue with the show. So, you started to talk about a case where the police referred the witnesses to you?
Yes. Yeah, they would get a lot of reports, and they would refer a lot of cases during that time over to my research group to investigate the incidents.
So the one you started to talk about, tell us more.
All right, so that was, actually it was August 24th, and this fellow had just cut his grass in a little town of Hermony, Pennsylvania, out in the country. And anyhow, he went in. He had just cut the grass, went in to take a shower. When he came out, his dog, which was tied to a chain, was very, very upset, barking terribly, and very, very upset. And as the fellow looks out, he sees this huge Bigfoot creature about 30 feet away from the dog, and the dog was trying to get away from as far as it could. And he noticed a strong odor that he said like rotten eggs at the time. And with the smell, and of course, as you know, historically, there are many cases where people who are close to these creatures claim they smell this rotten smell, something like sulfur, rotten eggs, something that's been dead for a long time. But there are also many, many cases when there is no smell whatsoever. And I've had many cases like that being reported. But anyhow, so he sees this creature out there, and there's also a large a chunk of a tree, a big tree branch that had fallen, but there was no reason why it should have fallen, and there were some footprints in the large footprints in the fresh grass had just been cut. So he calls the state police and reports that my team goes down, we're out there investigating that case. When I get a call over the civil defense fire radio in my car to contact the Derry police, that they had a Bigfoot incident up in Derry Township, up in the trailer park. So we find our way from Hermony up to the other part of the county, up to Derry Township that night, and the police, local police, got on the scene before we did. They found some possible footprints around the mobile home, around the trailer, and they preserved them for us till we got there. When we arrived on the scene, this occurred around 11:30 that night. Here's what we found out. So the people were in their mobile home. They hear the sound like something scratching on the back end of their mobile home. A woman calls her son, who also hears the sound. They walk back into the bedroom. From there, they hear a sound coming from outside of there. It was like a baby crying sound. They verify their cat was inside the trailer. It wasn't from the cat. Suddenly, the electricity began to go on or off in the trailer. They open up the back door, and that's when they see this large, dark creature standing there only a few feet away. The woman screams in fear and sees this thing, and the creature, which was huge, stood over 6 feet tall, appeared black in color, was very husky, and it twisted and ran between two of the other mobile homes. Other people saw it. She's screaming. Other people come out. There was a strange smell in the air at the time. They said it was something like a sulfur smell. Once the creature ran off, they called the police. The son grabbed his gun and went outside to look around. Her dog was outside, had been tied outside, but they found the dog whimpering, whining, and not barking. She said it was though someone was covering the dog's mouth. That's the way it was, the way the dog responded. When the police arrived, they checked the area, and they found some possible tracks out there. My team arrived on the scene, and interviewed the people, and as we're looking around the area, a couple of things. One, the area behind the residence, the scratching sound gave an impression the creature was near the mobile home. There had been some large blocks stacked in that area. Those blocks had been knocked down, apparently, by the creature. But one of the members went over and examined the electrical meter box. Interesting here. He noticed the lead seal on the box had been broken. The electric line from the box to the trailer had been pulled right out of the ground, and we advised them to contact the power company right away. So that was an interesting case, but here's the clincher to the story. And I believe this was, I'm trying to remember, probably about 4 days later. So about 4 days later, I get a call. Back in those days, we had operators. We actually had live operators. Do you remember those days?
Well, don't forget, I come from Brooklyn, New York, and I remember that we dialed most everything except occasionally for a long-distance call. We didn't have area codes. We had to have the operator do all the work for us and pay through the nose for it.
Okay, well, up in this part of the country, we had live operators. So the person involved was trying to get in touch with me, and they couldn't get through because my line was so busy. They had an emergency call for me, and so anyhow, they called, and the operator broke into my phone call, said, we have an emergency call for you from this person, and I took the call. That happened to be the lady that owned that trailer that night where that happened. She said she had been trying to get in touch with me, and she was not able to do that. In the meantime, this man shows up at the scene. And she said to me, she said, I'm sorry, I think I made a big mistake. I think I did something wrong. She said, I was trying to get in touch with you, and I couldn't. And I said, so what happened? She said, well, this man shows up at a mobile home. He said he was an investigator from Ohio. He had some kind of an ID badge, some bag UFO on it. He had an Ohio license plate, and he said he was here to investigate the Bigfoot incident. She said he was a little heavy set, wearing a gray work uniform, had brown hair, no glasses, wearing a gray belt with some kind of face on it. And anyhow, he wanted to ask her about the Bigfoot sighting. In the meantime, she told him that she had been trying to get in touch with me, that she found some hair samples out in the area near where the creature had been, and she wanted to get the hair samples to me. And the man told her that he knew me, that he would take the samples and would give them to me, which, of course, we never got them. We have no idea who this guy was. But anyhow, it got better. So while this guy's talking to her, she said he's acting very fishy. He said there are other neighbors out there looking over the footprints. One young boy was taking Polaroid pictures of the footprints. Remember those old Polaroid cameras where you put the cartridge in, you got the pictures right away? He had one of those cameras, and he's taking pictures, and as he did, the boy said, I just made a picture, and the man basically just grabbed the picture right out of the boy's hand and said, you just made us a picture. And then he wrinkled up the photo in his hand and put it in his pocket, and the boy was still there when she was calling me. And the man also went over to look for some scratch marks on the trailer, and he goes over to look at the footprints while the people were there. And they said he began to, he destroyed the footprints with his feet. And the man makes this odd statement. It says, it has been destroyed. And the man wrote down measurements of the footprints. Then he left the area. And the people started getting very upset and started yelling at him. And they said, if you don't get out of here, we're going to call the police. And the guy ran off. And they said he almost turned the vehicle over with such a high rate of speed leaving the area. And who that guy was, we have no idea.
That's a story. It sounds almost like from some of John Keel's writings. You know, the bizarre individual claiming to be a UFO investigator or government employee, but is obviously neither.
Yeah. Well, it gets even better. If you want me to get into it, I know some of your listeners have probably heard this story, but the part I want to tell you about is the strange visitors, but I need to give a little bit of the story to those who are not familiar with the case.
I don't want to use the clock on the wall cliche, except I will, because the clock says we've got a split. Let's do our break, and then you can tell us about the background of this case, and then we can examine the instances of the strange visitors. My boy, Stan Gordon, will be back with After the Paracast for more discussions. With Gene and Stan and Tim, you're in.
The Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits. At least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter, producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Speaking of strange creatures, some of us believe that Tim Swartz can be a strange creature because of the nature of the way he presents those stingers. Stan, you were going to talk about strange visitors, but you had to tell us first about a story we may already have heard of. Go ahead, please.
Well, this is a very famous case, and again, it is the case that probably changed my mind about what we were dealing with during the 73 outbreak. And I know it changed the mind of some of the people in my skeptical research group, because, you know, I had some very serious people in my group, some very scientific people, and they were out there investigating reports. So some of these people, you know, they weren't sure what was going on. Some were skeptical, but I'm telling you, some of these folks spent months and years of me out in the field. And as time went on, as they interviewed witnesses, they saw the patterns, they saw the evidence, they began to realize that there were indeed something going on we could not explain. And this case during 73 was the case among many others, but it was the case that stood out. And it was October 25th, 1973, in a rural area outside of Uniontown in Fayette County. And I'm just going to give you the briefer summary of it, because it's a long, long story. If people want, they can go to my Solid Invasion book and then read the complete story. Probably one of the strangest cases ever documented. It has many elements to it. So it's about 10:30 that night. I get a call from a state trooper from the Uniontown Barracks. He sounded a little shook up, and he said, "I just came back from investigating this incident." He said, "I think there's something still possibly up on, in the pasture, up on the farm. Can you get a team up here as soon as you can?" Well, we did. We assembled a team. It was already late at night. We got our team together. We got our equipment. We got our radio equipment. We had our radiation survey meters. And involved in my group, in fact, was the Westmoreland County Civil Defense Radiation Defense Officer. We found our way up to Fayette County. So we find out that about 9 o'clock that night, about 15 witnesses, I think it was, in a rural area, to see this barn-sized red sphere about 100 feet off the ground hovering and beginning to move downward. I always focus the story on the relative of the person. It's the son of the person who owned the farm. So he's coming out to visit the family. As he's riding down the farm road, he sees the people standing outside. They're looking at that huge red object in the sky coming down, and he sees it. And he ends up going to a neighbor's house where he got a better view. So it looks like this big object's going to land on his dad's farm. So there were two young boys up at that property, and those two boys and this fellow decide they're going to go over to that field and see what this thing is. So before they get over there, they stop at his dad's farm. He grabs a 30-06, high-powered weapon, handful of ammunition. And in that ammunition, he didn't realize he had two tracer bullets. So anybody who hunts out there, if you're familiar with that bullet, you just get that luminous trail when you fire it. Anyhow, as they're riding down that farm road in the direction towards the pasture, the dogs all around the area are just going crazy barking. They hear these high-pitched whining noises and these loud baby crying sounds. As they get closer to the area, the sounds are all getting louder. Anyhow, they're in the truck. They angle the truck with their headlights on so they can see their way up to the top of the hill. But they also notice, that they'd never noticed before, something's draining the power from the headlights. They're fading, and they're not as bright as they were when they turned them on. They'd never had a problem with the headlights or vehicle or battery before. So anyhow, they're walking up the hill. They get to the top of the pasture. And they're standing there, and they're looking across, and they cannot believe what they're seeing. Here's this huge object now on the ground or right above it. But now it is not a complete sphere. It's a big white dome. So it's like a half a sphere, bright white at this point, about 100 feet in diameter, illuminating the area. And they're just standing there in amazement. They can't believe what they're seeing. So they're talking about this thing, and they're watching this thing, and they're trying to figure out what it is. And then they look about 75 feet away, and there's this barbed wire fence. And along that barbed wire fence are these two huge creatures, one behind the other, slowly moving in their direction. The one in front's about 8 feet tall. The one behind is a little smaller, about 7 feet tall. These things are upright, covered with long, dark, matted hair hanging off the body. They have no neck. The eyes are about as big as a 50-cent piece, and they're glowing bright green. The arms are so long, they're hanging down below the knees, almost down to the ground, and they're making these loud baby-crying whining noises. Well, the one young boy is so frightened, he ran out of the field. And then the other fellow starts yelling at the older fellow, "Shoot at him, shoot at him!" And he takes his first shot. He fires over their head. The first shot is a tracer. You just got that luminous trail. He fires the second tracer. And when he does, the largest of the two creatures reaches out as though to grab at the tracer. It makes that loud whining, crying sound. And the moment it does that, that huge object in the field physically vanishes and disappears. It doesn't take off. It doesn't rise off the ground. It's just gone. So the sound is gone. Most of the luminosity is gone. The creatures turn around, start walking back along that barbed wire fence back towards the woods, and the fellow is now firing live ammo into them, mainly aiming at that larger creature, which he knew he was hitting. And he always told me for years and years, he said, after he passed away, up till he passed away, he always said to me that, he said, I'll never forget that thing just staring at me with those glowing green eyes as a pumping live ammo into it, and appears to be no response from it at all. It's not injured whatsoever. They just keep moving. So the two fellows at that point, they run out of the field to go get the truck, to go back to the farmhouse. They take the family to a neighbor and call the state police. So the trooper arrives 45 minutes later. I'm here to investigate the report. The witness says, forget about it. You're going to think I'm crazy. And the trooper says, we had a report up on the mountain the night before of two similar creatures. I have to investigate the report. So they go up in the troop car, up into the field. They're looking for evidence. And again, this is all the short part of the story now. It gets more and more. We don't have time to get into the whole story. Anyhow, the trooper tells me the area where the object was on the ground was self-luminescent and glowing, about 100 feet or more in diameter. He noticed that the animals would not go anywhere near it. He aimed his flashlight beam into it. He could barely see the beam. He told me, I believe he said that the glow extended up about a foot up off the ground. He said if he had a newspaper, he was certain he could read a newspaper from the light coming off the glow. Anyhow, to make the story short, they went back to the state police barracks. I was told both the witness and the trooper were both taken to two separate rooms and then separately interviewed. And then they called me to send up my team. By the time we got there, it was early morning hours. We met the witnesses at another location. They took us up to the farm. It was a long, involved investigation. The well-known psychiatrist, Dr. Berthold Schwartz from New Jersey at the time, spent a week up here investigating the case, went home convinced these people were all telling the truth. But anyhow, it was an amazing story. When we got to the scene, the area was no longer glowing. The farm animals still would not go near it. The radiation levels were all normal. And it was just a dramatic case with a lot of people involved. There was a lot more to the story. It got stranger and stranger. But here's what I wanted to tell you.
Before you tell us, let's do our break, Stan Gordon. With Tim Swartz and Gene Steinberg, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
According to the World Gold Council, while demand for gold is surging, 72% of people reply they lack the necessary know-how to do so. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest-rated gold dealer in the country. The reason? We lead with education. We've taught millions of investors how to buy gold safely and securely, and our in-depth gold guide explains everything you need to know. From what type of metals to consider, if an IRA or cash transaction is best, and how you can be certain that the gold you're buying is authentic, certified, and real. Call 800-900-8000 now and get our number one rated first-time gold buyer's kit. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the information you need to secure your future. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000 today.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Ukrainian and Russian officials say all women, children, and elderly people have been evacuated from the Azovstal steel plant in Mariupol. Hundreds of civilians were trapped for weeks at the sprawling plant amid a tense Russian attack. Ukrainian fighters remained holed up at the complex. The Kremlin is still trying to capture the plant, where the last sliver of resistance remains in the southern port city. Elsewhere, a spokesman for the Ukrainian military says they've regained control of a town about 12 miles northeast of Kharkiv. The spokesman said in a YouTube video that Russia continues to conduct a full-scale attack against Ukraine in hopes of establishing full control of the Donetsk and Luhansk regions. First Lady Jill Biden says she remains concerned about the next phases of the humanitarian crisis prompted by the war. She said as much while visiting refugee mothers and their children in Romania. This is USA Radio News. Afghanistan's Taliban rulers have ordered all Afghan women to wear head-to-toe clothing in public. The decree calls for women to only show their eyes and recommends they wear the head-to-toe burqa, evoking similar restrictions to when the Taliban last ruled the country between 1996 and 2001. It's the latest in a series of repressive edicts. The CDC is looking into the deaths of 5 children linked to the growing number of mysterious pediatric hepatitis cases across the country. The cases, 109 of them in 24 states and Puerto Rico, date back to October. The latest case count is a steep increase from a couple of weeks ago when only 11 cases had been identified. It prompted the CDC to issue an alert for physicians to be on the lookout for such cases. A New York court has halted the use of familial DNA searching, where law enforcement agencies searched the state's DNA data bank for close biological relatives of people who left traces of genetic material at crime scenes. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned in to the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
So consider the previous segment the introduction. So what's the payoff, Stan?
Anyhow, what happened was that in a follow-up investigation, you know, over the years there were some cases that were really outstanding, and I'd like to keep up and make contact with some of the people just to talk to them about, see how their lives changed, how the case may have affected them. But on a normal follow-up investigation, we went up and interviewed that primary witness. And at the time the incident happened, there were some things going on that were very odd, and Dr. Schwartz, psychiatrist, did not recommend any hypnosis. We didn't have anybody from our group. You know, we had some professionals in the group that could. We never used hypnosis on him. Now, years later, we had considered the possibility of maybe using hypnosis with him. So we were going to approach that witness years later, probably back in the 1980s, about doing that. So anyhow, we get together with him, and we're talking about that case in 73, what happened, and we ask him about the possibility of doing hypnosis. And he looks at us very strange and said, "Well, why do you want to hypnotize me again?" And with my associate and I look at each other and, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well," he said, "about a week or so after the incident happened, you know, a lot of people came to interview him, and two men came to his home. One was dressed in a dark suit. The other was in an Air Force uniform. He thought they were somehow related to my group. And anyhow, he said they asked him all kind of questions about what happened. Asked for great detail about what the creatures looked like, what the UFO looked like, what happened. And they asked permission if they could hypnotize him. But before this all happened, the Air Force officer had a briefcase with him. He opened up the briefcase. He had photographs of both UFOs and Bigfoot that he wanted the witness to look at. They wanted him to point out any pictures that looked similar to what he saw. And I remember him telling me about one particular Bigfoot picture. It was a Bigfoot climbing over a fence in Georgia with a dead pig under its arm. But he said they did hypnotize him, and when they were done, they thanked him very much. They said they believed he was telling the truth, that they would be in touch with him, they would hear from them again, but of course he never did. And we, of course, tried to follow up, but we couldn't find anything. Got to remember, 1973, well, Blue Book had already officially closed in 1970, so there were no records of anything, and who they were, we have no idea.
Okay, from this account, though, it seems pretty obvious that somebody, ubiquitous they, was following your investigations very closely.
Oh, I'm sure there was. I'm sure with a lot of interest in it. I mean, I had a huge amount of interest from all over the country, and I'm sure out of the country during that time period. There was so much going on. I mean, for months and months, it's making national news, the investigations. It's some areas, this near panic situation. Public safety around this area was very, very shook up over what was going on. People were out there with guns trying to shoot these creatures. I mean, it was nasty in some areas, and, I mean, it was an amazing time to live through. I mean, we're out there 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning investigating these incidents. It was very, very strange stuff. And, again, like I said, I never saw Bigfoot, but there were some instances. One in particular, I was called out to a farm. There were a couple farms out in Derry Township where the people said these creatures went on occasion. Come back and visit again. So we tried to stake them out, but we were so busy on so many other cases, we just weren't able to spend a lot of time with all these occasions. But this one particular evening, I get a call from the family on this one farm. I found them very credible people. Many people had heard the screams. They had seen strange lights on the property. They had seen Bigfoot at close range. A lot of weird things were going on. They said the creature just came back again, and it was in the barnyard. So my team and I, we get out there as soon as we could. When we get there, the dogs aren't making any noise. There's footprints in the barnyard. They had a large corn. It was dark, of course. They have a large cornfield, and there was something in the cornfield running away from us bipedal, very fast, making these very strange asthmatic-like sounds, like very heavy breathing sounds. And I chased it through the cornfield. And I recorded the sounds as I ran through the cornfield, but whatever it was, we couldn't catch up to it. And so I think I was pretty close to one, but I never got to see it. That's one of some other instances that happened. In another case, talking about the smell, and again, very odd situation. Again, this would have been August of 73. I get a call from a police officer from Derry, and asked me if I could come down to investigate an incident that two women, a mother and daughter, had contacted the police. They had heard stories about this creature being seen, and they were reluctant to tell them, but they had an encounter with something, and they had heard rumors that the Derry police had shot and killed the creature. They wanted to take a look at it to see if it was the same thing they saw. Well, of course, that was not a real story. They had not shot and killed a creature. There had been reports of other shootings around there by other people, but that was not what the police were involved in. Anyhow, the police officer had initially gone down to interview the two women. It was a very warm night, as I recall, and the mother is in her room, had the window open, the drapes the window was open, there were drapes in the window, something awakened her, she turned over, and I believe it was 3 feet away from her, this creature was stooped down, had opened up the drapes, and was looking directly at her 3 feet away. And she saw the face, she could see the skin, she sees the eyes, she could see the mouth. She was horrified, this thing. It had to be over 9 feet tall to look in the window. And it moved back very silently away, and a short time later, her daughter started screaming the other side of the house and said she just saw the biggest shadow she had ever seen. And then suddenly this horrific smell, this rotten egg, dead animal smell, just encompassed the area and just came into the house and took over the whole house. And when the officer went down, he said he could smell it. When he called me, it was 3 days later, I went down right away and interviewed him, and he took me down and I interviewed the witnesses, and I could still smell it. I mean, it was a terrible, rotten, sickly odor. But even 3 days later, that smell permeated the house.
Wanted to ask you quickly about this strange odor, this intense odor. You couldn't use traditional disinfectant sprays to get rid of it?
Apparently, and again, it's been years and years ago. I'm sure they tried everything. I know they had the windows open. They had air conditioning. But apparently they couldn't get rid of the smell. It was permeating the entire house.
Of course, I was thinking of Lysol, but they didn't have Lysol then, did they?
I'm really not sure.
Get out the Lysol if your house begins to smell like rotten eggs.
Well, I'll give you my theory on the smell.
Sure.
I think smell, again, it's talking about strange things, and there are so many cases we wouldn't even begin to have time to get into. And again, I'll give you another historical case which fits in somewhat with the theory that the reason there's not always an odor is the fact that this smell is somehow associated with whatever it is that these things can come and go between dimensions. They're coming out of a reality. This has something with the process of them appearing and disappearing.
So if you go from one dimension to another, you leave behind an odor?
Well, I'm just saying, I don't have the answers to it. I just think that somehow this odor is somehow associated with their appearances in certain areas.
Yeah, because a normal odor, you know, would dissipate after a couple of days. But this one goes on and on and on.
Well, I can just tell you, some of the people I talked to got physically sick from the smell over the years. Some people, and again, in a lot of cases, there's no odor whatsoever. But in some cases, you have this terrific smell, and people have been sickened by it.
You know what, folks, let's do our break here. We have one more segment to present with Stan Gordon, author of Creepy Cryptids and Strange UFO Encounters of Pennsylvania. But then he'll be back with After the Paracast to continue the discussion, where we're absolutely certain to get a fuller picture of the weird stuff that's going on. With Stan and Tim and Gene, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Hi, I'm Al Averoa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Inflation is picking up, markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. Nobody wants to run out of money in retirement. That's why I'm going to share something that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. With our investment strategy, when the stock market goes up, you earn a market-linked return that locks in every year. And when the stock market goes down, your investments won't lose a dime. There are no unnecessary fees, and it works for your investments, money at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500 and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
Are we any closer, Stan Gordon, to figuring out what's going on? You've got so many cases here. All we have to do when we have you on the show is say, so what's new? And then we can go away for a week and you're still going. So with all these cases, we are going to find out something that takes us towards a solution.
You know, the more I know about it, the stranger it is. We're beginning to learn a lot more about some of the different aspects of these mysteries. We're seeing certain similarities in a lot of reports. But again, it's such a challenge because we're dealing with something that's so unusual, so strange. It's hard for people to accept, which is the reason I understand why it's hard for the government to come out and talk about it, because it's so bizarre. And, I mean, again, if you even look at what they're talking about with the Skinwalker Ranch, and if you read the book with the Skinwalkers at the Pentagon, if you read that book and you look at some of those details and some of the things we talked about years ago on your show that I had talked about from the 70s and since then, they're so unusual, so strange, it's hard for people to try to comprehend it. None of us understand it. It's ongoing. And the more I look into these different anomalies going on, the orbs, the certain type of UFOs, the cryptid stuff, the paranormal stuff, I think more and more that a lot of these different things are somehow interconnected or somehow related. We just do not understand it.
What happens is it gets more mysterious all the time. Like we get to level B and it's at level Q by that point.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many cases that indicate we're dealing with something that's just not normal. I mean, Bigfoot case where they just suddenly appear in front of a person's vehicle. They see it from head to toe. They see it walking away, and suddenly it's gone. Here was a great case that happened down in the Mon Valley, which is outside of Pittsburgh, just a few years ago. I got the report on it just a short time after it happened because the witness contacted a relative, and then I was contacted. I interviewed a witness, and I can tell you, this guy was extremely emotionally upset. Eric Altman and I from the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society and I, we went down to the scene. The next morning, interview him at the scene. He was still very, very shook up over what happened. I mean, it was probably one of the most interesting close-range Bigfoot encounters ever documented. It was a real dark, rainy night when this happened. He's riding down this back road where there's been a history of sightings for years down those areas. Suddenly, this creature was on the left side of the road. He has his high beams on, and this thing walks out literally 5 feet in front of his vehicle and stops right in the middle of the road. and it's looking directly at him with its glowing red eyes. And I mean, this guy described this thing from head to toe down to the hands of what this thing looked like. And I mean, he was extremely shook up, and this thing took big steps across the road, went up this little hill. So this fellow grabs his cell phone, he follows this thing behind it, tries to get a picture, and then he said, what happens is, he said, the thing is at least 7 foot tall, it's right in front of him in his headlights, and suddenly, as he tries to take a picture, it's not there, it's just gone. He said he couldn't understand how it could possibly move that fast that he couldn't see it anymore. Well, we can think, well, was it just too dark and was out of the beams of the headlight? But he is certain his eyes are adjusted to the dark. It's right in front of him in his high beams. It's no longer there. And those are the kind of things that keep happening. It's just so many mysteries out there we just can't figure it out.
We see the same kind of phenomena, though, with UFOs. I mean, they'll fly around and just suddenly fade away and vanish. Or a lot of times when they land and the occupants get out, they'll do the same thing. You know, they'll go from looking solid to just outright disappearing.
Yeah. Here in Pennsylvania, there's such a long history of so many weird things. It's not just the giant bird sightings, which, by the way, we're right now looking into. Eric Altman from the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society called me, I believe it was Sunday, and we have what appears to be a really good multiple witness Thunderbird sighting in daylight, not too far from Greensburg where I live. We've had other reports in recent months, but in the last few years we've had some amazing sight of these huge flying creatures. So we're looking into that as well. But anyhow, and I just lost my train of thought. You're talking about, these things are ongoing. There's all kind of things. And, again, not just Thunderbirds, but we have these floating entity reports. Back in the 60s, there was a lot of reports of, again, large metallic objects low to the ground where people actually see portholes and they could see through them. They could see, like, computers and consoles in some of the reports. And there were humanoid sightings being reported and landing reports. You want to hear one of my favorite stories? This is one of my favorite cases from back in the 1980s.
We're going to have to wrap this in about 4 minutes before we pick up with After the Paracast. So if you can be brief about it, go ahead.
Okay, there's a lot involved, but I'll try to do it very briefly. So this would have been, I'm trying to remember what year, 1968, I believe it was. And this was a fellow who had just gotten out of the Navy. So two brothers. The young brother was a great believer in UFOs. The older brother went in the Navy, was a complete non-believer. I mean, they would get into such intense arguments over UFOs, they would get into fist fights about it. So in February of 68, the guy was in the Navy. The brother retires, comes home. He and his new wife, they rent a little farmhouse out in the country, which has a little pond. And this one winter day, he happened to look out, see it was snowing, it was supposed to snow. There's this long metallic pole, about 20 feet standing outside from his window back. It's attached to this large, huge, solid, dome-shaped object with portals in it with a hollow bottom with a big dome on top, like a catwalk, hovering about 50 feet above the ground, about 50 feet away. He can't believe what he's seeing because he knows all the aircraft we have. He had a high security clearance. He calls his wife, she comes out, oh my God, what is that thing? While they're watching it, this small little humanoid creature comes out on a catwalk and then another one comes out to join it. They go outside and are looking right at this thing and one of these little creatures looks directly at them. So it's hovering there. He calls his brother in Greensburg to come out and he and his wife come out. It takes them a while to get there. It starts to snow pretty heavily. The roads are getting icy. And when they get there, the thing's still there, but it's about 100 feet above them. They go down the road, and suddenly the thing shoots off across the sky and looks like a star going into the heavens, and it's gone. They call the local airport, and they said they had many other reports similar. And that guy, who was a complete non-believer, became a believer.
I'll tell you what, you did cover it there. Hey, can you tell us your plans for the future, what we can expect from Stan Gordon over the coming year?
Again, we didn't even have a chance to cover a lot of recent reports. I mean, in the last few weeks, there have been significant UFO sightings, other interesting cases going on. It's nonstop. I mean, the reports come in here by email and by phone continuously. So we get current and past reports. So we'll continue to investigate the reports. hopefully now with the pandemic, things are finally, hopefully, getting better around here. I did attend a conference over the weekend. I have been invited to speak at many events coming up for the next year, so they can go to my website, stangordon.info. They can look at under upcoming events. I have some cases posted on a website they can read about. So we're out there. We're involved in a number of different projects, and we're just going to keep going as long as we can.
And again, the book is entitled Creepy Cryptids and Strange UFO Encounters of Pennsylvania, Bigfoot, Thunderbirds, Mysteries of the Chestnut Ridge, and more. This is case book number 4. It's a well-printed book here with lots of illustrations, a little over 200 pages. A breezy read and lots of fascinating information from our friend Stan Gordon. He'll be back, by the way, on After the Paracast with so much more to talk about. You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. We have two places to look for us on Facebook. Pick the one you like at Facebook.
I just wanted to mention also they can go to the website and they can also contact me. Contact information on the website if they want to reach me. And the books are available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
You can also check out branded merchandise for Paracast listeners. Just go to theparacast.shop. We have 4 different logos, including some from our former co-host, J. Randall Murphy. And pick the ones you like. You can buy one shirt in each style. How about that? Check to theparacast.shop. We also offer the Paracast Plus, where we offer this show free of the network ads, the After the Paracast podcast, exclusive to Paracast Plus subscribers. For more information, go to theparacast.plus. And by the way, folks, if you use the coupon code UFO20, that's UFO20, you get a 20% discount on 5-year and lifetime subscriptions to Paracast.plus. Stan Gordon, what a wealth of information you provide. Thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Thanks for having me on again. We appreciate it.
Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
In the 1800s, there were 160 spas set up in Europe to dispense fresh liquid whey. The sick would recover their health and the aged would become rejuvenated. There's only one whey protein powder on the market that can generate and surpass the results seen in the whey spas in Europe. But first, let me tell you the story of 90-year-old Mary, who was semi-bedridden and in hospice care. Mary had been consuming only a pea protein and pasteurized milk drink. Then Mary was put on to Green Meadow whey mixed with raw milk. She was given 2 to 3 whey drinks per day. On the very first day, Mary was up and came into the kitchen and made chicken soup. She was on her feet for many hours. 3 days later, Mary had gained 2.5 pounds of healthy weight. Green Meadow Whey is health giving to both young and old. Green Meadow Whey is guaranteed to make you feel better, stronger, reduce your inflammation, and eliminate virtually all toxins from your body without feeling sick. To order, go to bestwhyprotein.net. That's bestwhyprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.